Curtis, somebody, based on what transpired during the break, somebody, as they would say, ain't going to find their feet on the parquet any longer.
I am so happy on the rare occasion we get a text about something negative and it's not related to me.
You are sharing fraudulent information.
Well, I'm sharing positivity to club.
I would like to say good morning and hello to a regular listener of this program, my guy Sully.
Our guy Sully.
Sully, I'll take the tickets you usually give to Wiggy.
I would like to point out that you are wildly incorrect about the Celtics and beer prices.
But I didn't say the Celtics were the reason why. Courtney, what I say?
You said, the most expensive beer.
Right, and because the Bruins upcharge them.
You are wrong about that.
They do, though.
Okay. Well,
but the Bruins are upcharging them. It's not on the seas, though.
Listen, when you're getting free bags, whether it be merch or tickets, it's tough sometimes. You blow that opportunity based on what you I'm sorry.
That's why I said it is time for the
Celtics. Sully, I will reach out.
That's why I said it's time for them to get their own arena.
All right. Man. Speaking of the Bruins, Mike Milbury is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by findmassmoney.gov, and by Timeout Market. Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. Good morning and welcome back, Mr. Milbury.
Hello, everybody. How are we?
How was the off season?
It was good. It was a great summer on the Cape. It was perfect weather. In fact, it's still beautiful today. It's been awesome. But I want to talk about the pigs. Where was this pig pet from?
Metro West.
Somewhere in Metro West.
Metro West. Well, I mean, if they have a big farm or something, I guess you can keep a pig. But
are you looking to adopt?
No, I was just going to advise people who live next to the WEI area. They could come in. They have their pick of pigs to pet.
Oh,
I thought you wanted some bacon like me.
No.
Do you have a pet? Do you have a dog?
No, I don't have a dog. I don't believe in those pets.
Oh,
sorry. No, I'm not a dog. We have neighbors down here in New Seabury who walk their dogs in carriages. That's going a little too far for me.
Well, if they're a little older, then, you know, you got to get
them
around.
I'm talking about the dogs. No, the dogs are fine. It's the people that are older.
Oh, I see.
That is a lot. When you're walking your pet around in a carriage.
They get tired.
I understand. But all right. Well, listen, this team, as we sit here this morning, about 500, are you disappointed so far?
No, I'm not disappointed. I'm not surprised either. There's a ton of changes. They needed a talented center, so they go out and get Lindholm. They need a big thumper on the blue line. They get Zadorov. Probably the two best guys at that position available, but they focused on size. They brought in a host of other guys. And so I don't know if that was a reaction to their losses to Florida the last couple of years where they kind of got beat up a little bit physically. But so far, the group, which is huge, looks a little slow, looks a little out of sync, and it looks a little undisciplined. And if you recall the last couple of years, they were a puck possession team. I mean, they own the puck. They move the puck brilliantly around the ice, but they're still feeling the after effects of no Bergeron and no Krejci. If they've gone to a more dump and chase style, that's sort of a throwback kind of approach, and hence the size. But the size is no good if there's not any speed. You know, if you've got size and no speed, it's a recipe for disaster. You know, checking requires that you got to have a lot of hard work. You got to have foot speed and anticipation. You got to be able to get there, even if you don't bang. That's why the game has mostly been transferred to skating people. And if you get in the face of a defenseman trying to move the puck out of zone, doesn't matter if you thump him, but you get in his line of vision, you can impair it and you can disrupt it. And the thump is great. I mean, that's what the Bruins did under Don Cherry, what the Bruins did under Harry Sinden. They were the big bad Bruins, but I don't know if there's time for that right now. And the last two games, even against Utah in particular, but against Nashville too, for the most part, they were definitely a slower team.
Mike, one of the other things that we've kind of seen pop up again this season, and we talked about it last year, is obviously defensively turning the puck over and then defensively losing track of guys, especially in front of the net. How can they clean up some of those issues?
That should be easy. That really should be easy. I mean, McAvoy should be a dominant player on the blue line. He's been inconsistent, and he's got to get over that inconsistency and earn his paycheck. I'm a little tired of Hampus Lindholm. It looks like he's just blasé out there. I mean, this guy was incredible in his first full season, and I don't know. It just looks like he's collecting a paycheck and not doing what he should. There's no passion to his game. And the game is passionate. You got to have gumption. You got to have some fire in the belly, for lack of a better phrase. But this guy just seems to be, you know, I'm okay. And against Nashville, he throws a backhand pass up the middle of the ice that just goes through. Luckily, he got through everybody and went to the other end of the ice. But you don't do that when you're a veteran like that. You don't make that kind of silly play. He just seems careless and really not very committed. And that's not a good thing for a player of that skill level.
Are you concerned about the lack of production from Brad Marchand?
You know what? Three off-season surgeries. He's 36 years old. He's put on the second line. And, you know, I think you can only hope that he's going to come around. And I'm sure he will. He's too hard a competitor not to have some better production than this. But, you know, they have a lot of players still not playing in the right position. I mean, I happen to think Lindholm is a second-line center, not a top-line center. I don't think Zach is a top-line forward. I think Charlie Coyle is he's a favorite of mine, but every time I say that, I get in trouble because I say he's a favorite of mine on the third line. He's a beast there. That's where he's comfortable. That's where he should be comfortable. Give him credit for sort of stepping up a little bit when he was asked to play second line, but his position should be third-line player, and so should Zaka. But that gives you holes somewhere else. No team's perfect. And the Bruins are trying to patch holes where, you know, it's really not the right spot for certain guys. But it's what every team has to do, and we'll see how it works out. But what does concern me is the lack of discipline. I mean, you know, against Utah, you know, Marchand turned the puck over, and Utah scored. It got turned over because it was offside, but Montgomery went down there and smacked him on the shoulder pad. It didn't hurt him or anything. It was not child abuse, but, I mean, you could see the coach's anger.
Yeah.
Zadorov has a penalty in every game. Lots of stick infractions. That means you're not getting there in time. You got to reach out and pull somebody back or trip somebody because you're there a day late and a dollar short. And that's not a good thing.
Well, it seems to me like your fourth line has really been your best line so far.
It's not even a question mark. I mean, everybody had Kostelec as a fourth line player, but he looks more like, and I know Montgomery said this, we were playing him 12 minutes. Maybe we should be playing him 17. He's probably right based on what the other lines have done. But, you know, you're not going to go far in the playoffs if you're relying on your fourth line, who's going to play that 12 minutes a game. It's just not going to happen. You got to have better production, better performance. He talked about, Montgomery talked about the process. What's the process? It's the process is everybody working together to get in on the forecheck with some speed. And if that's the process, you wonder whether they followed the right recipe in getting to that end.
Mike, you talk about how many surgeries Marchand's had. That's going to be coming to an end pretty soon, that career, and there will be a changing of the guard. Obviously, it'll be Pasta, Coyle, McAvoy, those guys. But when you look at the offseason acquisitions, who's the future of this team? Who do you think can actually make an impact and stay with the Bruins for the long term?
Well, they have to be betting on Lindholm and Zadorov. They gave them long-term contracts and put a lot of investment into them, so they have to be there. I don't know about some of the other guys. What is Frederick going to be in the end? Can he push himself to a second-line position? You'd like to hope that he could do that. Poltra, he looks a little – he's smart and he's cagey. I'm a little worried about his foot speed. I mean, he's agile but not very fast going from point A to point B. Lots of question marks for me as to who's going to be there, but they certainly need another centerman with good skill and good speed and can deliver pucks to the wingers that should be able to put them away.
Mike, sensitive topic, I know, but what'd you think of the big long-term extension for the young goalie in the Bruins?
I thought they should have given it to him 2 months earlier. I think he's going to be a bargain in 5 years. He's their best player by far. I'm worried about the second goaltender that was kind of a salary dump from Ottawa. I think it was a salary dump. I don't think the Bruins were in the market for a goaltender. They've got some other options in the minor leagues right now. But Swayman is, you know, he's their best player. He's going to be their best player for a while, and I just don't know how many games he can stick under his belt and be as effective. He's not a very, I mean, he's a really skinny kid, but he's a competitor, and he works efficiently. So I think he's going to get 60 games, which is what the old-time goaltenders used to get, or at least in the last 25 years.
I'm talking a lot lately about job security as it relates to Gerard Mayo, but how about Jim Montgomery?
You know, it's really hard to pin it on him. He's had great regular season success, and that's not what counts, right? I mean, what counts is going deep into the playoffs, but I don't know that you could argue against the position that he's taken them as far as they could go. And, Florida beat them the last 2 years, and they've lost to them twice already, once without Tkachuk and Barkov in the lineup, which is not a good sign. But again, it's early. But I think probably he maxed them out. I mean, you could argue the first year that they lost to Florida, he should have made a goaltending change, and that might have made a difference. I would agree with that, but we'll never know. But if this thing falls apart, then they may want to make a change because they've made investments in a lot of people for Lindholm and Zadora for the long term, and they expected better results from them. But it's early. Let's wait and see how it goes the rest of the way. They need some time to come together as a group, but there are definite concerns. I mean, the questions about their speed, about Lindholm and players out of position. And Marchand, he's got to find his mojo. I think he will to a certain extent, but, Courtney's right. It's 36 years old, and the end is closer than the beginning.
Mike, we've kind of had this conversation here. Obviously, you're the expert. You know a lot better than us. I think a lot of our expectations, here, we believe that the Bruins should be able to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and if they don't, then there's a good chance that Montgomery gets fired. What is your expectations with this team? Is it Eastern Conference Finals?
I'd say that would be my expectation. I don't see them being better than that. If you have one center who's a bona fide top six center and not another one, till you find another one, there's a major hole in your lineup. And it's not easy to find them, but... As I refer to Krejci and Bergeron, that was such a great tandem for so long, and they left such a big hole, and now they've patched it a little bit with Lindholm, and they need to find some magic in another center position, because it all drives through that center position, as far as I'm concerned.
Mike Milbury, so great to have you back on Bruins Thursday.
All right, guys, good to see you.
Enjoy walking the pets or whatever you're going to do.
And I enjoyed Wiggy's theory on beers, or his... I don't know. You can't go wrong Googling anything. Right. Everything's good on Google. It's 100% true, isn't it?
I mean, that's what it is.
I appear he is way off.
The prices are spot on.
There are Patriots fans who say they've never paid $8 for a beer at Gillette within the last 90 years.
When's the last time you've been to a Patriots game, Sean?
Last year when Mac beat the Bills.
Oh, so you haven't been in a while. So.
Well, if it's too expensive, don't buy the damn beer.
Right. Probably better for you.
Right.
Mike Milbury, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it. See ya.
Right. Yeah, you're just...
No, it's facts, man. It's all over the internet.
People are saying that your numbers are...
Yeah, that's literally the only story on the internet that says it's $8.50. That's the price of a water.
No. It's $8.58, and then if you include tax, it comes to $10.50.
No concession anywhere is not an even number, because the guy's got the even change. It's not $8.58.
I know that, but that's the original price, and then the tax, it comes out to $10.50.
Uh-huh. I see.
$10.50 and some change.
Tax isn't $2, Wiggy.
All you got to do, Sean... is put it in.
You're telling me taxes are 25%?
I would say this. Shine. And for all you non-believers,
the tax is 6.25%.
Put in cost of beer at Gillette Stadium.
I read an article to you that says it's $11.
Put it in. That's all you got to do. And so did you not see the other one?
I had that farther down.
It wasn't farther down.
Yes, it was.
Could someone please send us a picture from a concession at Gillette?
Multiple season ticket holders are saying that it's $11.
Have you seen the text line? There are literally people who work at Gillette Stadium slinging beers.
Slinging
who are texting
brewskis.
in.
I have never seen such uniform disagreement right. with a single thing.
I am on AmericanCraftBeer.com.
What would they know about Gillette Stadium?
Oh, well, they know about all beer. It's throughout the whole. It's all over the every stadium in the NFL. American.
I've never even heard of this source that you.
Well, there's a million different sources out there. Pick one. So you're not gonna believe AmericanCraftBeer.com.
Yeah, well,
I don't know what that is.
Well, I just think it's unfair when you take an organization like the Celtics, who I love with all
with
all my heart.
Right, we know you do.
And they have done an extraordinary job when it comes to taking care of their fans. Yes. I think it's wrong for you to proclaim on the public airwaves.
Uh-huh.
When somebody like Sully is listening to this
right.
show.
But I didn't say it was the Celtics.
And to say that the Celtics have the most expensive beer when they do not.
They. I didn't say it was them. I said
it's
they.
It's very upsetting.
No, I said they have the most expensive beer, but because of the Bruins ownership, who are the ones who set the beer price. It's not on the Celtics. They are an innocent bystander in this survey or this data that's been put out there. Who's our Google person?
I'm Googling right now. I can't find.
Yeah, no one can. Save that. That is a keeper.
I literally just put it in, and the first thing that comes up is like, you know, the AI-generated message.
That's what she said.
And it says about everything.
I can't wait
till. I love how you guys don't know how to work a computer now.
I can't wait till you and Mrs. Wiggins.
What is that?
The very first article is Mass Live. How much does a beer cost at Gillette? And when you pull it up, it says $11.
I can't see that on the Twitch.
Gillette, this is concessions at Gillette. A Bud Light Seltzer, $13. Bud Light, $11. Michelob Ultra, $11. Budweiser, $11. Bottled Water, $5. Peanuts, $6.
Okay.
Look at that. $11 for a beer.
And
how? Called it.
And you said, where'd you see this?
This is a photo somebody sent
it. It's a photo at the stadium.
I can't see that.
Curtis, wouldn't you love to be there when he and Talina hand in hand walk into the garden, get their tickets, and start walking down toward the parquet, and the usher says, excuse me, sir, you're in the 300s.
That's all right. I'll still support the team. I'll still support from the 300 level.
Please make room for the patrons who paid for these seats.
And guess what? I'll still buy a $20 beer. No
sorry.
Problem.
Sorry, sir. Oof. You won't be touching the parquet for quite some time.
Talk about unintended consequences.
Listen. Boy.
Yeah.
So we're looking at $11 without taxes. At
correct.
Gillette.
Yeah, that's about what
I
don't. It is.
I couldn't find that.
Tough, Wiggy.
Yeah. I am going to Gillette.com right now.
I've been there. Can't find it.
I mean, you can't find it.
Yeah, it only shows the selection. It doesn't show prices on Gillette.
Gillette beer prices.
We literally have a picture
at the stadium.
Yeah, I don't trust those pictures.
Adam. Adam, hello.
Wiggy, I love you. I'm a season ticket holder for the Patriots, and they're $14 for a draft beer.
16-ounce. I'm not talking about the big one.
16-ounce, $14 for a Sam Adams at Gillette Stadium.
I can't find that.
$8 for a popcorn.
Well, Wiggy's actually talking about Milwaukee's best. You can get appeals for $9. You get a red, white, and blue for $7.50 if you go to the right stand. All right. Here's Courtney with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Patriots practice yesterday. A lot of people missing. No Jalen Polk, Ramondre Stevenson, Curtis Jacobs, Laydon Robinson, Anfernee Jennings, Vidarian Lowe, or Keon White. We've got Thursday Night Football tonight. It'll see the Vikings at the Rams kick off at 8:15. You can listen to that right here on WEEI. The Celtics are on the road tonight taking on the Washington Wizards. Tip at 7. The same time the puck drops for the Bruins and Stars at the TD Garden. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
That was exact. If anybody wonders why the show is doing so well, that was it. I have no idea what we talked about. We were all enraged, and then we laughed. 62 degrees and cloudy afternoon, high 67.
Gerard Mayo yesterday, essentially with the we are on to the Jets line, which
full circle.
That's worked in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why does he continue with the strategy that I am talking to the players through the media. Like, can he could talk to the players in the locker room?
Right.
Would be an alternate way to do that.
Right, in the team meeting room. I don't.
Or you could call KJ Osborne.
But maybe that is, like, the difference in players now, where players don't want to be embarrassed when it comes to things that could be clipped and posted on social media. Like, maybe that has a better effect than just saying it to them behind closed doors. I could see that.
But isn't it more embarrassing them?
Well, because I think saying something to somebody in the locker room, if you had a conversation with me behind closed doors and said, hey, I didn't like this, then that's one thing. But saying it with a microphone in front of you and everybody else hearing it, That's more embarrassing.
Okay.
If you're a player, I think that could actually be effective for the younger generation.
Yeah, I don't understand. If you think a football team is soft, why you feel the need to tell everybody else after you've told them?
And like, if the team's actually soft, this would be the last way I would communicate with them.
Correct.
As long as you tell,
is logic left the building?
But as long as you tell them in the meeting, you guys are soft. The game after the game, before you speak to, you know, in the locker room, before you go out there on the podium, you just lost the game. You guys played soft. You guys are a soft football team. We're not going to beat anybody if we play like this because we're too soft.
You know what?
Then you go to the media and then basically say everything you just said to them to the media.
Yeah.
No problem.
But you know what the definition of soft is? Is saying one thing and then the next day getting heat and saying something different.
Well, but Wiggy, to your point, all the players did say that Gerard's not saying anything to you guys that he hasn't already said to us.
No, I'm just saying for the good of his general well-being, he felt the need yesterday to point out to you again that he is doing what he is saying to the media is to speak to the players. Like, that's not the point of the whole thing. And then he said the fans too. And I mean, that's all well and good. And
what about the correcting of it every week? It seems if you're a player, and so let's say he calls you soft to the media for 24 hours, the whole country's talking about how the soft team got killed in England.
Right.
And then the next morning with the Greg Hill show, he says, well, I meant to say we played soft.
Right.
Yeah, I don't agree with
that. Because, see, then that, to me, Curtis, that's a good point. That message isn't being given to the players in the locker room. So if the message in the locker room isn't given that, oh, you guys are soft, you played soft, whatever it is, and then you go out to the media and you say something, and then you have to walk it back because you're basically saying, well, I meant we played soft as a team, then that you didn't even say we played soft as a team to me in the locker room. Just be honest. The one thing I loved about Bill Parcells is he was honest about where you stood. And he would tell you, and then if he said it to the media, you already knew because he's been saying it to you in the locker room. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest thing that I think Mayo has to do. Say what you want to embarrass guys. I got no issue with that. But make sure you embarrass them in the locker room first.
This is Jake from Boston. Hey, Jake.
What's going on, everyone? Let's talk about not the Gerard Mayo PR push, but the actual actions of players last weekend in London, because football seemed to have taken a backseat to other things. First of all, I find London to be an exceptionally difficult city to go partying all night. It's kind of like Boston, which could be more impressive that we're hearing rumors of this. But it wasn't the drinking. In fact, judging by what I've seen on the socials, the Wives Club and the families treated this game as the start of a European vacation. You have Parker Henry, who is the wife of Hunter Henry, posting with hubby at the Tower Bridge an hour away from where they were staying because they were at a Hilton right next to Wembley Stadium. Mind you, this is a 72-hour business trip. You left on a Thursday, red eye. You're back on Sunday night. You couldn't leave your families behind for 72 hours for a 1-6 football team. And mind you, you have 6 months of vacation with the exception of like 2 weeks from mid-January to late July. And it's worse than that, too, because it's not just the players. DeMarcus Covington, who is your defensive coordinator, had seven family members in London with him. Not just a wife. He turned it into a family reunion. And no wonder why you got the ball shoved down your throat like 100 times in a row. Your wife is posting family photos on her Instagram of a reunion in Europe. And then obviously Gerard's wife was there. But then I ask this. The Tennessee-Alabama game, and he's a Tennessee alum, ended at 2 a.m. local time on Sunday. Do you think he was watching that on a satellite somewhere, you know, halfway across the world? Like, is he getting his sleep? The whole team was distracted, and it's not just the players. It's the coaches, too. And their families are gallivanting through Europe right now. And if I'm Jacksonville, I might move the team over there because that is the ultimate home field advantage for them.
What?
I mean, I don't mind if you're in Europe and you're enjoying it as a family.
But the family thing, like every team does that. The Jaguars were there for a week. Their whole families were there.
Jaguars are 2-4 in London, by the way. Not a great home field advantage.
He's pissed.
Yeah.
As many are.
A week is different, though.
I don't care if it's a week or 2 days or 48 hours, like whatever. The Celtics went to Abu Dhabi. All their families went. That is what happens when these players.
That was preseason.
It doesn't matter. No, it doesn't. Every team that goes abroad, their families go with them. That is part of the allure of having that game on your schedule.
But you had somebody, was it Kendrick Bourne, who said the guys are up all night?
Right.
I mean, was that... Is that Kendrick Bourne who said that?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. What do you think's going to happen?
It's worth a discussion.
Yeah, and what do you think's going to... Listen, as a former player, if I went to Europe and I brought my family with me, what do you think, and it's a weekend trip, don't you think it becomes, let's go see this, let's go see that, let's go do this, let's go do that?
So as a player, you feel the way that caller does.
Because that's what it would become.
You wouldn't let Talina go to London if you were playing there?
It's not like I wouldn't stop her from coming.
Want her to come.
No, but it is going to be a distraction.
But it's a distraction if you let it be a distraction.
No, it is
like you can be in your hotel room and let your family go enjoy, but
that's not what happened. There were people taking romantic pictures at the Tower of London.
Courtney, you're married to Santo.
It's a great spot.
Was the bell ringing, or is that a different thing?
Well, no, different name.
Okay.
Different spot.
You're married to Santo. Santo plays for the Patriots and says, okay, we're leaving on a Thursday and we're going to London. And you're like, oh, Santo, let's go see this. Let's go do that. Let's go do this. And he's like, no, I don't want to do that. You don't think it's going to be a distraction?
No, I think you go with the other wives, the other family members. Like I think to put it on that, where people have been doing this for years and years. The Patriots aren't special and the only team to be bringing their families with them.
Text for you with regard to your beloved husband. Does he bring you on business trips?
I get invited, but the business trips are during the week, so I don't take time off from my job. He's in D.C. right now.
He invites you on every business trip that he's taking. Oh, he does. Okay.
You invite him on business trips?
Yeah. When we do the road shows,
Would it become a distraction?
No.
Oh, you don't think so?
Jake has me thinking. I'm going to say this right now. Yeah. No family on road show business trips going forward.
Thank God.
If it is a distraction.
Okay.
If it is a distraction, Bill might say, hey, listen, I know some coaches might
say... Would you have stayed at the Ocean Deck till midnight if Talina wasn't there? Probably not.
Could I ask a question?
What's Ocean Deck?
Could I have a family...
What's that?
Where's the
Ocean Mist?
Oh, Ocean Mist.
Yeah, I'm like, Ocean Deck. No, yeah, because guess what? Talina was there and we stayed till midnight.
I know.
That's the point.
I'm stopping it on this show.
Oh, okay.
I'm stopping
it. If she wasn't there, I would still... If I was hanging out with everybody, I'd still be there till midnight.
Using your rules, no family, right?
Yeah.
I consider Ken like a brother, so is he out?
Ken can come.
Oh, right. Man.
But I get the caller's point because it is a distraction.
I just don't think we should be using that as an excuse for how this team is playing, because teams do this every single year, and it's not a distraction for other teams. So,
no, but when you're losing...
This isn't a new concept of teams going and playing overseas.
But if there's situations, Courtney, that have happened...
But that's a team issue. That's not like a family issue. I think that's a cop-out. Is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah.
For a caller to come and say, oh, well, all the wives were there and the families and Hunter Henry was taking photos. Like, teams have been doing this for years.
So why do they move teams away from the family when they get to the Super Bowl?
Great question.
Because they don't want it to be a distraction. But the families still go.
With the Chiefs, it's just for safety.
Right, but they know.
Curtis.
Sneaky good, Curtis.
And they know, and the Super Bowl is a week-long event. They left on a Thursday. So this is basically like a short weekend type of business trip. Like, you don't really have enough time to hang out with your family.
Well, then all the families, the wives, the kids, ship them out of New England because they suck at home, too.
No.
So,
I would have just
said... That's true. They're really bad at home.
If I knew I had a team that wasn't mature enough, I would say no family members on this trip.
Yeah, the family should move out for the season.
So Gerard Mayo should have said no family going to London.
If he felt like the team wasn't mature enough to handle the situation, it's one thing with Jacksonville. They were there the whole week. Hey, you want to go out with your family Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Cool. No problem at all. Even a Thursday, you can go out, have fun, time. But when we get to that point of we need to focus and lock in on the game, then we need to make sure we're not doing that.
Yeah, and like a texter says, it's a distraction for every team. But the difference is you're not good enough to overcome it.
Yes.
But wouldn't this have impacted the start of the game? Like, you're not prepared. You're
well,
little.
That's the only thing they worked on in practice. But, during the
that's fair. But, like, you should have been up 14-0.
Well, it's the first 15 plays are a little bit easy scripted.
Yeah.
But that's you have to know your team. If you feel like your team is not mature enough to handle the situation, and there could be situations where, okay, if we start inviting a lot of people, guys can get distracted. And that's just human nature for somebody to go to a place that they've never, like it's Europe. You know, the wife might want to say, let's go an hour and a half away to see some beautiful place. And, you know, it could potentially be a distraction where weren't there a couple guys that were late?
You loaded up. There were guys that were sick.
Right. So maybe
there guys that had tummy problems.
And I'm not
overloaded on the bangers and mash or whatever. Yeah.
That's just a travel thing, though. You know, you travel and your belly just isn't what it normally is.
Could be mad cow.
You can't use the restroom.
Oh, it's a constipation thing?
Yeah.
Like do you have that issue when you travel?
Yeah.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
Some people can't go for like 2 or 3 days into their trip.
Yeah.
I don't get how that's an issue at all.
Yeah, I've never had that problem before.
I mean, what's the difference between going to the bathroom in Europe and going to the bathroom here?
Just traveling.
Different kind of toilet.
It flushes the opposite
push
way.
Push a button and, you know.
Got no issues with that. I'm talking more about guys. There were reports that guys were late to stuff. And not that, say, Hunter Henry was late to anything because he wasn't, but let's say a guy was out with his family or his girlfriend and he's an hour and a half away, loses track of time, and then hits traffic or whatever it is trying to get back to the meeting.
That's on not being a professional.
But that's my point. So if your team is not mature enough to be professionals, you might have to say, hey, fellas,
they're grown adults. If they're saying, hey,
Courtney,
the wives and girlfriends and kids can't
says
come.
The issue, and they're not, I don't think they're being mean, but the issue for you on this discussion is you, in your case, when I say you, I'm referring to wife, girlfriend, whatever, you are the distraction. So you would never think that you're the distraction.
Now we've got a point.
Okay.
That could be
it. Shopping. You need to go. You want to check out the.
But I'd be fine doing that on my own. Like, I just.
Stop it.
I would.
Stop it, Courtney.
I would.
Can we go on one of those double-decker bus things that I saw on TikTok? Can we find that phone booth where everybody takes a picture? You know, the red one?
Where the locks are where you put on the bridge. Don't they have, like, a place where Santo's like, listen, I got to get ready for the game. Courtney's like, don't worry about it. You got plenty of time.
All right. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Jones and Keefe coming up in moments with Andrew, our pal Andrew Razor Raycroft at 11:30. I think.
Ooh, tonight
they launched the Bergy Cast tonight.
Yeah,
that's gonna be awesome.
What's the Bergy Cast?
It's like that's not what they're calling it, but it's alternate way to watch the game tonight. So you got Patrice Bergeron. It's Bergeron. It's Patrice and Tuca and Razor. Doing their own commentary.
It's like the Manning Cast.
I bet they're going to be in the same room, though.
Please be in the same
room,
guys.
They're going to be in the same room, I think.
Please.
It's Bergeron. It's Patrice.
It's in the same room, and not like Razor needs any advice, but just don't ask about the final game in Montreal.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Well, as long as they're in the same room, I'm all for that. I'm all for that. I just...
Boy, did I get a bitter beer face from Bob Sweeney.
That was no bueno.
Death stare.
All right.
I'm going to the game tonight, actually.
Oh.
I'm kind of excited.
Find out the prices on Brewski.
How much were those tickets?
Huh?
How much were the tickets?
Going with the Bland manager.
All right.
Me and Lindsay are going. I think it's a double date with the Bland manager tonight.
So pro bono?
I'm sure I will be. I'll Venmo Ken or something like that. I'm sure.
All right. Well,
you'll buy a round.
I'm going to get one of those $8.50. Where do I go to get the $8.50?
That's
beer?
Gillette. $12.50 at the Bruins game. Okay.
Good luck. You're going to have to spend $18.
We'll find out tonight. G Hill, we had this conversation. Please send us a photo.
I will get you some. I will document the evidence.
Thank you very much.
I am at the Boston Garden tonight for this Bruins game. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, great show, everybody.
Great show. Mm-hmm.
Celtics back home Monday against Milwaukee.
A lot of fun this morning. And Wiggy is demanding that no family members ever attend any game at Gillette Stadium or overseas.
Overseas, I would be. Okay. I would probably have been like, no.
No
family members. No, if I knew my team wasn't mature enough to handle it,
Greg.
No family. family members.
Tomorrow, can we get to all the things Wiggy's been saying about the Celtics off the air? My goodness.
Yes, yes, we will. Yes, we will.
Yikes.
Yeah. That's a real issue. I got to tell you, a real problem over there.
The one person Wiggy needs.
Who has happened to be listening at that moment.
That's all right. That Sully knows. He knows. He knows. He knows where my heart is.
Miscalculation on you. Did he get back to your...
Yes, he did.
Wiggy went into panic mode and started texting him immediately.
He knows I'm a green teamer. I got no problem spending $20 for a beer. He knows I'm a green teamer. I love it.
Yeah. We work with you every morning and smell you when we get get here. We know you're a green teamer also.
That I am.
Yes.
I've been supporting.
Okay. All right, guys. Back tomorrow morning with Jelani Tavai of the New England Patriots. We can ask him about the nightlife in London.
Yeah.
And about playing soft. So Jelani Tavai tomorrow morning around 7:30 and our next installment of Pudge's Pals.
Woohoo!
A dog from Salem, New Hampshire, and their animal rescue group up there coming in tomorrow morning. So if you're looking for a dog and you want to give them a forever home, make sure you're here tomorrow at 9 and listening on the radio, watching on Twitch or YouTube. All right.
Perfect.
All right. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for your patronage.